I think what I might do is, we don't finish the meditation section today. I'll pick it up on Friday night, okay? And in between, we'll go on to emptiness for the residents, okay? Okay, here we go. I think Nimbo Ran, Dena Porbe, which is, yeah, okay. Dena Porbe Cha Sumana, we're in the middle of the five problems, right? And we've been discussing detecting when your mind is too low or too high, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if everyone was here this morning at 9:30 for the meditation at the yoga studio, but basically we tried to do 8 minutes on the object, and it was hard, and it was exhausting. But what happens if you do real meditation? It's like doing a real yoga pose with a tough teacher who demands proper alignment, right? At the beginning, it's harder and it feels uncomfortable, and then later everything is easier because you're doing it right. So maybe try short sessions, you know, do your preliminaries, and then don't go for an hour, you see what I mean? Go for 10 good minutes. Then if you want to do a Thanksgiving meditation for 15 minutes, that's okay. But really concentrated, single-pointed meditation, 8 minutes is pretty good. Alright. And people who say they're doing more are probably not. They don't have watchfulness, and they're not even aware that they're off the object. You see what I mean? Dena Porbe Cha Sumana, Lakde Simbadam, Dhambo Sumadam, Dhyam, Yokyoksu Summa Sum, Miki Tapashin. The function of watchfulness, the little spy or lookout that you put in your mind, can be compared to holding. In Tibet, you didn't have handles on things. Like you drank tea out of a bowl, small bowl, called a korpa, a small wooden bowl. So he said, if you have tea in your korpa and you're holding it with your hand, and then there's a distinction between holding it and holding it firmly, and then a state of awareness of whether or not it's tipping, right? And you have it already. You didn't have it when you were Bella's age. You know, when you were 1 year old, your mother put something in your hand and you could hold it, but you didn't hold it tightly and it fell a lot. And then later, you learned to hold it more tightly, but you didn't hold it straight. And you were spilling stuff on yourself for a while. And now you just hold a cup of tea and you don't think about it. You don't think, oh, I have to hold it. I have to hold it tight enough. And I have to make sure the tea doesn't slop out on either side. You don't think about it anymore. Good meditation is like that. You will get to a point where you're not thinking about, am I hitting this garbage can or these garbage cans? Is my mind getting too dull, or is my mind wandering off? You see, you won't have to think about that. It will be like holding a cup of tea. When you first learn to drive, your driving teacher has to tell you, no, correct back to the right, correct back to the left. And then now it's just reflexive, right? You're just going like this. You're talking on your cell phone. You're listening to music. You're half watching the road. But this part is just automatic, right? Later your meditation will be like that. In the same way, your awareness, right? I'm not talking your lookout. That's a different word, right? Chenpa means your awareness. The part of your mind which is holding on to the object, right? Your awareness, mikten zinde, zindang dhamma che. It's dhamma che. It is holding the object in a way which is firm. Shi shingi chingu, chu ma chu da. And then the lookout is checking. It checks in every once in a while with the mind and says, do we have any dullness here? Do we have any, restlessness here? Okay? The back part of your mind, shishin. Watchfulness, it's like checking in once in a while and seeing, do I have awareness or not? And in yoga, it's like, I don't know, you would have a part of your mind saying, is my breath smooth or not? You know, you go through an asana series, and then part of your mind should be checking in from time to time. you know, am I breathing deeply and smoothly? Or am I holding a bandha through the practice of that? You must maintain these two, we call it, say, temba? Shishin. Temba? Shishin. Temba's job, awareness's job, is just to hold the object. Shishin's mind, watchfulness's job, is to watch whether awareness has lost the object or not. Right? I think I don't know. And they're different, right? And you need both of them. If Shishin detects a problem, if watchfulness detects a problem, it raises an alarm, it rings a bell, and then Jemba comes back and grabs the object. You see? It grabs the object again. Right? And then he says, there's a science which one day we should study together, okay? It's a very sophisticated presentation of psychology in Buddhist scripture. There are 52, 51 mental functions are defined. And Shishin, watchfulness, is not one of them. And so Bhavan Kripache is saying, well, where in the classical functions of the mind shall we put watchfulness? And he says, throw it in with wisdom. Throw it in with wisdom. It is a kind of discrimination, viveka. It's an ability to discriminate. Do we have a problem here, or don't we have a problem here? So it's a kind of wisdom. Right? It's a form of wisdom. Nyepa Shivani. The fourth classical meditation problem is? You should have aired down as far as I go. These guys are... I think it was Jenny's class. They were like, oh. You got any? Is down as far as you can go? Freeze these mothers. Nyepa Shivani, fourth meditation problem. Chingani Karam Chona, Nyepa Dumi Chepa Nyepa Yinbe. If you do detect that your mind has gotten too low or too high, right? Then you have to take action. You have to do something. Okay? The correction. Problem number four is you didn't do anything. Like, he rang the bell and you didn't do anything. Shishin rang the bell. Well, the watch guy, the lookout, rang the bell. And then you don't do anything. So when you become aware that you're off the object or that you're getting dull or that you're thinking about lunch, then you have to do something. Not to do something is problem number four. Guess what the antidote to problem number four is? Alright. Once the lookout has detected that you have dullness or restlessness, they talk to me in Jopar, he doesn't let it go on anymore. Juma taktu, right after it pops up, right after you fall into dullness, or right after you start almost thinking about dinner, chindu chara kang chungwa, whether it's dull, subtle dullness, or whether it's gross or subtle dullness or restlessness, soso nyamote ngope, you have to apply the appropriate antidote. And we haven't gone through the antidotes yet. And that's what we're going to do now. There's different antidotes for rough dullness. There's a different one for subtle dullness, there's a different one for rough restlessness, and there's a different one for subtle restlessness, right? So you gotta decide to do something. This is similar to a case where, a military lookout runs back to base camp and says, there's somebody there. You need help. And then everyone, what do you call it?
Rallies.
Okay. Submission. Okay. Well, Nyambo Kanda, then Goshena. Oh, well, what kind of reinforcements do you need? Because every enemy is different. Right? If a tank's coming, you need an anti-tank gun. If the jet's coming, you need the, what do you call it? Agag, whatever. Okay, good Shina. Chiwa Chamoni, Sen shunda yinde. Okay, here, these are very important for you. This part you should remember. Which implies that you can forget the rest, right? Chimo chomoni. If you detect subtle dullness, okay, what would it feel like? You do have... You do have fixation. You do have... Pain, but there's no run. Intensity. There's no intensity. Okay? So if you detect that your mind is not in the favorite piece of music, did you catch my favorite piece of music? What was it today? The last song. I mean, come on. I mean, it makes me cry when I hear that. The song you did, Shavasana, you know? I mean, when I hear that, my mind is like, and the mind goes into the music and it just stays there, right? If you detect that you're not doing that, you have to take action. Got it? It's very interesting. It's very interesting. We are not satisfied with half-assed meditation. We are not satisfied with fairly good, you know, fixation. We're not satisfied with that. If you detect that you are not having a favorite song in the world experience, you've got to do something. Right? And if you don't, you've made this mistake. And that's tough. I mean, it's tough to maintain a favorite piece of music state of mind for more than the piece of music. It's 9 minutes and 14 seconds. And it's difficult to maintain with your partner. You know, I mean, it's difficult to maintain, you know, like this lovey-dovey thing for more than a few minutes, right? Now, he's demanding that if you don't feel lovey-dovey, you have to do something right away. Right? He's demanding a certain quality of the meditation. And less is not good enough. Less is not good enough. If you're not totally lost in the meditation, as you would be lost in your favorite adagio in the last Shavasana, then you're not, it's not good enough. You have to take action. See? Because you would be tempted not to take action, right? Oh, it's going fairly well, Geshe Michael. Not good enough. We want more. We want, what's that? Intensity. We want you lost in the meditation. Okay? Alright. So what happens if you're not? What do you do? Right? This is not, oh, yeah, okay. This is not plugged in, maybe, somehow. Maybe the box is not right. He says, subtle dullness is sem shumba. Sem shumba means the mind got a little bit low. Shumba means like how you feel, if you heard some slightly bad news, you feel a little bit low. Like you got a little bit of bad news, so you feel low. Sen shun be yin xing, qing shun, qing, qing shun yi, kang chun che kyang. Whether you call it getting low, or whether you call it dullness, your chikdu zela is basically the same thing. Dena, selcha dan necha yukyang. Even though you have fixation, and even though you do have some freshness of the mind, zindagi paru marusong, the altitude of the altitude of the holding of the object has dropped. You're lower. You're lower than you should be. Selche ngar mepa. There's no ngar. There's no intensity. Chima chamo te kena. If you detect it, Tun drova dan mipa dan migo means you don't have to break your meditation session. You don't have to get up. Don't break your meditation session. Stay on the cushion. Stay with your eyes closed. Mipa dan migo, and don't switch objects. Okay? So subtle dullness is taken care of inside the meditation. You don't switch to another object and you don't stop meditating. You don't open your eyes. You stay in. And you do the fixing inside, right? Send it, zendang, dang, 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 all you have to do is tighten up a bit. Tighten up slightly on the other. Tighten down slightly on the other. In the way that you would tighten your hand slightly if the cup were about to fall. You see? Just tighten slightly. What it means to tighten slightly and how it feels to tighten slightly, you won't know until January or whatever. Right? I can't explain it in words. Okay? What does it mean to tighten your mind slightly? You'll see. Going from not so favorite music to being deep inside your favorite piece of music, that's tightening. See the difference? That's called tightening. It doesn't mean you know, people do Kapalabhati, they are cool. They are Snacha, but Necha, you can understand there. They are Jim Chagna, Gopakira. But if you tighten down too much, Gopa, you will get restless. The mind will get restless, right? It's a constant process of correction. If you are not constantly correcting in your meditation, you are in subtle dhammas. Got it? If you're not doing this, you know, if you're not saying, oh, I'm going a little too far this way, let me go back this way, no, let me go back this way. If you're just sitting there and not thinking like that, something's wrong. For most of us. Rancha. Jim Rinpoche. If you feel that you're about to think about lunch, then loosen up a little. So what has just happened? You detected that you weren't so deep as you wanted to be. Then you tightened up a bit. Then you went too far in the tightening. And then you had to loosen a bit. Good? Chamnan deki. Piwam ki yuk hajam jim chakpadam. Ha drapa maimba jimba ha rembe samne ke nyamba jumar sun. Lord Buddha himself, when he was discussing meditation, compared it to the string on a guitar. It's a lute, okay, a piwa. He compared it to a string on a musical instrument. He said, if it's too tight, the note goes sour. If it's too loose, the note goes sour. You have to find rembo. Say rembo.
Rembo.
It's not rambo, okay? It's rembo. Rembo means appropriate amount. Rembo means the appropriate amount. Not too tight, not too loose. Meditation, by the time you hit problem number 4, is all about appropriate amount, rembo. Don't tighten too much and don't loosen too much. But necessarily you're going to be going like this, right? You will tighten a little too much and then you have to come back. If you feel like your mind's about to think about lunch, lighten up a bit. But then if you feel like you're getting a little bit drowsy or dull, then tighten up a bit. Alright? That's maybe the opposite of what you might expect. Right? If you're getting dull, tighten. If you're getting distracted, loosen. I think to say you should loosen when you're feeling distracted is maybe counterintuitive. So remember that. If you're starting to think about lunch, loosen up on the object of it. That seems opposite of what you should do, right? What's the point at which you're getting dull? Or what's the point at which you're getting restless? Or what's the point at which tightening down is causing a problem? You will only know from practice, he says. You can only know it from practice. Karte, shishin jambo matana. If your lookout is not a clever one, is not a sharp guy, jambo means sharp guy. Rinpoche used to love that one. You know, you would drop a plate and he'd say, oh, you're so jumbo. No, you're a really smart guy. Hajan Jokawa. It's difficult to know when you're sliding off the scale. you went too far on the tightening or you went too far on the listening. 장가, 로펜 찬드고미, there's a very, very famous early Buddhist master called, in India called Chandragomi. And he wrote a verse about how it feels to try to track whether you've gone too far or not far enough in loosening up or tightening up. Here's what he said. 전박대나 그번 중요신. Every time I try to do something, like every time I exert myself inside of meditation to get some kind of result, I start to get distracted. I start to get restless. 대박나니 슈마케와교. If I give up my effort and loosen up a bit, then my mind drops and I get dull. 비이 립발용주 니에카나. I have trouble finding the line, the steady line between, you know, the mind wandering and the mind being dull. I have trouble staying there in the middle, like driving a car. Daki semtu. Daki semtu peini chishigi. What the hell am I going to do with this mind of mine? Alright? I mean, loosely translated. But it's she, tungyawe sunze, Avoka says, it would appear that this high master of the past is expressing some pretended difficulty. So shin, so tuze in Tibetan means that you can't say, a high lama can't say of an ancient master, oh, you know, he was having trouble with meditation. You have to say, he was pretending to have trouble in his meditation for our benefit. He was expressing the frustration of controlling his mind and keeping it going to on a middle path, but it was just pretend, alright? That's just Buddhist etiquette about high lamas and high masters. It would seem that they have misspelled every mantra since about 1400. Okay. Lingang, Dried Nangme, Nangme, the Norway, Jarachunna, Munsim Kawe, Nien Chewa Shin. This is a very famous line, and it's very important, okay? What do you call a Benedict Arnold type? Yeah, okay. The perfidy of it, perfidy? Anyway, the bad thing about it being that he was on our side, right? He was one of our own. In the army, Marines, they would say he was one of our own. And then he turned, right? Or the CIA, they'd say he was one of our own. And then he turned. Your own mind, going especially into subtle dullness is a Benedict Arnold. Right? And it's hard to catch a turncoat in your own ranks. That's what he says. That's what the Tibetan means here. You know? Somebody who's coming from another country with a gun to shoot you is one thing. But somebody on your own side working in the central command of the CIA who turns, now that's a problem. Because they're so hard to recognize. It's so hard to know who turned. And in your own mind, when it goes to subtle dullness, is what do you call it? Impersonating, or it's pretending to be your friend. And you think he's on your side. And you feel great in your meditation, right? You don't have those 8 minutes of torture that we had this morning, of really holding on to the object. Subtle dullness feels great. You can keep it up for an hour and a half. You can tell all your friends, I meditate for an hour and a half. You know? And then this guy who seems to be on your side is really your enemy within your own mind. And more difficult to detect a turncoat in your own central office. Right? Chingwa ni jingjing da norwe kyun. Kyun chung nian chewe na jimba ni zao dungge. It's very difficult to detect subtle dullness within the central command of your own skull, right? And you're going to have to get good. You're going to have to develop a skill at detecting when someone in your own mind has turned, right? 내가 샘 준비 따야 작은 상체가 쇼네 sen şeyde tabu am zintan nisare nyamchunna nisamna.
If you try to tighten down a bit when you are having subtle dullness, alright? If you try to tighten down a bit when you are having subtle dullness,
当然,
大病小姐拿说明, but if you still feel like you don't have that adagio for strings intensity of your favorite song, alright? If you still feel like I'm not getting it, you know? Geshe-la said I shouldn't be satisfied till I have the feeling that I have with my favorite song, and I'm not there. And I tried to tighten down a bit, and it didn't work. I still don't feel the favorite song thing yet. In fact, I feel kind of irritated. All right, Shunmei, send Shibatanwam. This is kind of a meltdown of the mind, he says. Zindang Mei Seo Rei Nyam. Or you feel like it's just not happening.
Chungna Mei Seo Ma Chingwa Rakpa Lepa Yenbe.
In fact, sometimes the effort to tighten down will throw you into obvious dullness. You get tired. We were talking about it today. After the 8 minutes, you just got tired. And you got obvious dullness. You got tired. You lost all energy. You lost your energy,
right?
Then he quotes Master Bhava Viveka's famous presentation of the lower middle way school.
Shumpa Mikba Gya Chen Ba. Gobe Yangba Nidu Cha Shetatar Sem Nam Du Che Kim Yinbe.
He said, Shumpa Mipa Gya Chen Ta Gobe Yangba Nidu Cha. Master Bhava Viveka said, when your mind feels a little, like you're feeling a little bit down, the mind feels down, no energy, right? If you get there, Gya Chen Ta, he said, open up your meditation, open it. In that case, just open it wider. Open up the whole thing wider. Yangba means open it wide. What's that mean? Shetra sem nang du che wei kien yinbe. You have, there's an expression in Tibetan that doesn't have a good English, like about 10,000 others. But when you go to sleep, it's laya. In the yoga tradition, it's like laya. When you go to sleep, the mind, what do you call it? It retracts from the world, right? What do you call it? It withdraws. Yeah, good. When you go to sleep, the mind withdraws from the world, right? And it comes in, and then you fall asleep. If you can't withdraw the mind from the world when you lay your head down on the pillow, you get insomnia, right? So the process of sleeping is withdrawing the mind in. The process of tightening down on an object is similar. It is a drawing in of the mind. It is a withdrawal of the mind to a smaller point, like that. And he says, if you still have subtle dullness and you can't get to the favorite song surrendered into the music theme, if you can't get to that state, the problem is you've withdrawn too much. You have come down to too small. So he said, open it up a bit. So physically, you can even imagine in your mind that you have tightened down to too small of a ball, and then release it a little bit and let it, give it a little space, create a little space in your mind, right? Like that. Release the, open up, jun means open up the object a little bit, open it up a little bit, make it bigger. They can maselna, if that doesn't work, alright? And you're gonna have to learn these things. Why? When it comes time in Sri Ritri, wherever you are, or in Prescott, you can't just have the book there and tell, what do you do when you get, let me see. I don't remember what I was supposed to do. Oh, tighten up. Oh, if I tighten up too much, yeah. Oh, if the, yeah. Okay, let me go back. You know, it's not going to work like that. The reason to have this class now and then do the retreat, what, 2 months from now or something, is that you go home and learn it so that you know it with your eyes closed. Because in January, you can't have a book in front of you. All right? So especially these parts, especially this page about the antidotes. And tomorrow you'll have the translation, I think. You can purchase the translation. You can purchase it online. It's called Liberation in Our Hands, I think. Volume 3. You can buy it on Amazon. Or you can, we'll have some here tomorrow. The publisher sent us a big box full, and they said, whatever you sell, whatever you build, you send back. So, you know, we're not doing it for money. We're just doing, you can have the book that I'm describing. You can have it with you, and then you can review this stuff. So that in January, when you're there with your eyes closed, you know what to do, right? If still it doesn't work, make the tongue send shumate sengte tapsam. Say sengte.
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 I really like this one. It stuck with me for 20, 30 years. I love the word, I don't know why. If you still have a problem, if you still can't get into the object as deeply as your favorite song, drop the object. Move to a different object. You're allowed to drop the object for a few minutes. Let go of the object, and then sengte, say sengte.
Sengte.
Sengte. I learned the word because Rinpoche, when I got the howl, we used to sit at the breakfast table, and I was with his other main student, Art Engel. And he and Art were talking Tibetan. And then I had already learned to speak some Tibetan. And then I would say something in Tibetan and say, you're not allowed to speak Tibetan. You have to speak English. And I said, why? And he said, because I have to learn English. You know, and of course I got jealous of Art. So he got to speak Tibetan at the meals, and I wasn't allowed to speak Tibetan at all. I rarely see this kind of thing going on with my students. Because karma doesn't work. But anyway, I was extremely jealous for years. And so I did this thing. I subscribed to a Tibetan newspaper. And I would just lay it down on the breakfast table and I would ignore them. And I would read the newspaper. And I got to this word sengtak, and I was like, Rinpoche, what's sengtak? And he said, sengtak is a medal that they give you for something special, like you're a military person, or you get a medal. It's called a sengtak. Seng means like recognition, or tak means a sign, right? Lakshana. Seng means achievement, or promotion, like that. So here, seng tupa means promote the mind, uplift the mind, do an uplifter, do some kind of uplifter. Okay, seng tu tapsam, work on uplifting the mind, or garang tap. Think of something that will make you happy, or think of something that would lift your spirits. Okay, seng tupa means lift your spirits. Gawa means that would make you happy. He gives examples. Deljar Dunche Nyekawa means there are 6 billion people in the world right now. There are 6 billion people in the world right now. Every single action they undertake in their entire day and their entire life is meaningless and is mistaken. It cannot lead to what they want. Even making a cup of tea, even the way 6 billion people think they are making a cup of tea is wrong. And they are not enjoying tea because they got a tea bag, or they got water, or they got honey, alright? That isn't why they got a tea, and none of them understands that. Right? They want tea, they work. They go to the store and they buy tea bags. They go to the faucet and they turn on the water. Then they go to the stove, for which they're paying an electrical bill, and they heat up the water and they pour it into the tea bag, and then they add some sweetener and they think they are making a cup of tea. Even with that, 6 billion people are grossly mistaken and they suffer because of that. 6 billion people suffer all day long and all lifelong because they don't even know how to make a cup of tea. How do you make a cup of tea? You serve it to someone else. It's the only way you can get a cup of tea. It has nothing to do with working, buying the tea, heating the water. Those are useless, unrelated actions. They are not related to getting a cup of tea. You want tea? Serve the hungry. Serve those who need things, right? It's a massive global error repeated by 6 billion people constantly all day long, and because of that they suffer. They compete, they fight for resources, they fight for a job, they fight for oil. When the opposite is what would bring them food. And it's a massive planet full of violent suffering because they just don't get it, alright? You are sitting in this room, you know, out of 6 billion people, there are 200 people or something sitting in this room, and they are getting a tiny inkling of how to make a cup of tea. You see? Just a tiny thing. They're just thinking, maybe he's right. Maybe that's how I get tea, you know? Out of 6 billion people, you made it to this room. Out of 6 billion people, you have a chance. You have a tiny chance. You made it to this room. Are you special or not? Are you special or not? Are you like the most extraordinary person in the world or what? You know? You are one out of 300 million. Something, I don't know the math, but anyway. Okay? You are one out of 300 million who's on the verge of understanding where a tea comes from, or how life itself occurs. And I'd say you're pretty special. Alright? You are special. That's sankhita. If you get to a state in your meditation where it's too dull and you can't get the mind up, you have trouble getting the mind up and interested and excited and feeling inspired, then think about the 6 billion people thing, and if you don't get inspired by that, then, you know. Okay. You are extremely rare. You are one out of 300 million people. Really, I'm not exaggerating. You are one out of 300 million people who made it here by extraordinary good karma, you know, by extraordinary deeds of kindness in your path. You made it into this world. You're special. You are extraordinary. You know, you can save planets with what you're learning. You are special, and you will. So, or Chosun Yiyan Denman. Or think about if that doesn't make you happy, think about how cool your teacher is, or the Buddha is, or Gandhi Ji, or whoever inspires you. I'm staying with this old lady. She's cute. She has a big picture of Obama on her deck. And she just loves him. You know, and she's so inspired by him. So think about someone who inspires you. Okay? Yiyan Denman. Think about your teacher, think about how lucky you are to have one. So think about how fortunate you are to be in a room of people where someone can seriously say, you can save planets. You as an individual, one person in this room. If you follow this course of instruction devotedly, you could be someone who saved not just one world, but many worlds. We're talking that kind of stakes. And you're in that kind of high stakes thing. You see, you're special. Alright? Sam Sankhita, uplift your heart. Uplift your heart. Right? In the middle of a meditation, in a 3-year retreat, you know, and you've been stuck there for like 6 months and nothing's happening except the mice got in. Uplift your heart. Think, the 3-year retreats, you are one out of 700 million, alright? You're more special. You're even more special. You're sanctified. Okay, uplift your heart. Nangwe Tsema Yila Chepatan. This is a very difficult, practice. Think of something which brings you life. Think of something which brings you life. I have a lama who enjoys walled gardens and sunlight and roses opening in the sunlight in a walled garden, or French doors with light linen, light, what do you call it, filmy curtains, and the light pouring in. You see, I have a lama who's turned on by this kind of thing, right? So that's the sema means. Try to bring a similar vision into your mind of a sun-filled room, or a sunlight pouring over a garden, sunlight pouring over the roses in a garden, or whatever turns you on, a neon sign from McDonald's, okay? But something bright and something, you know, we don't have a word. We have a word? A garden that's filled with sunshine. Lucid's okay. Light filled? Something like that. Pouring, light pouring.
Radiant.
Who said radiant? Yeah, that's good. Radiant's good. Some radiant object. This is like desperate last measure, right? Try to think about a light bulb. Or something. Right. Okay, you want something like that. Don't we make us so gone? This is a beautiful one. He says, your mind is a bit down. Do the dong and dong men. Do the dong and dong men. What's that mean? Yeah. Do a little fantasy where you are giving people what they want in your mind. It's called dong men, right? It's the dong part of dong men. Do a little fantasy where you're walking around like Santa Claus. You know, you have a big bag full of, oh, what, you want a Cadillac? Oh, here's a Cadillac, you know. And you do it as a pranayama, right? You do it on your breath. You send the breath out, and you give people things on your breath, which means you have to brush your teeth and everything. Okay. Anyway. If you undertake, now I just gave you a list of antidotes, okay? That list should be written down somewhere, and you should memorize it. And then when you have your eyes closed and you're feeling down, which is the most common problem, right? Then pull it out of your mind and do one of them. Probably the only one you'll remember is the McDonald's one, at least. Okay. Your day. Sangana, Lan Nipajan. Then you should go back to the object, which you released temporarily to go think about the McDonald's side. Alright? Then go back to your object. You're not allowed to think about the downside and then get up and order some French fries. Lang ring na lo la ma kombe de chao du tembo on kayan kombe shing yina del ten ye ka den jan ne tsu sa san pe do la chu chamo ta ba shin du ga ye la dro. People like you and me, he says rang re, same thing, instead of rang chak. People like you and me, we haven't gotten used to thinking in the 6 billion people terms, right? We don't think about it very often. We're not used to reflecting in that way, that I am one out of 300 million people who made it to this room. We're not used to thinking that way. Okay? It's true, but we're not used to thinking like that. So in the immediate, in the next few days or weeks, it's not going to have a huge effect on you, right? You're getting dull in your meditation. You're trying to remember, what did Geshe Las say to do? Oh, I was supposed to think that I was one out of 300 million people who had a chance, a little chance, right? That's not going to have a boom boom effect on you right away. But keep trying, okay? Keep up that way of thinking. Kombashi yina. If you get good at thinking that way, or if you get used to thinking that way, then just bringing to mind that will be as if someone had thrown a bucket of cold water in your face. It's cold. Right? If you get used to thinking how special you are, and it's not artificial, you are special. But if you get used to thinking that, then it will have the effect during your meditation that a bucket of cold, ice cold water thrown in your face would have. As far as removing dullness, subtle dullness. Would that remove subtle dullness? Let's check. Okay? Prescott's going to be snowy, alright? Or it's going to be at least pretty cold. So anyone who needs, I'll do the bucket thing. Dress warm, okay, for that. Being sick is like really a disaster for medicine. Especially now you're cold. Because you're coughing and bothering other people and you're slurping. So, be responsible and you'll need to bring lots of warm, you know, what do you call it? Layers. Okay. 다른 미션은 중학생답수 출석 런센 인가 월급은 넘버 셀러 say pet. If you're really nasty, you can say pet. Okay, good. It's a lot like the other F word. Okay, it means that. It's a sound used in ancient Tibet for like it's just like screaming F you or something. But it's used in rituals, right? We say fem, right? Hem. So pet means, wake up. You say fat. Okay. No dullness. Pet. Pet comes when you, what do you call it? Tibetans don't have an F. You know, they say, can you give me some French fries? You know? And, excuse me? And they don't have an F. But in Fet and in Fem, they use an F. It's the only two words in their whole language. They say Fet. Even they can make an F. And then, Ninga Okapo means if you get desperate and you just can't remove the dullness, picture a sun ripping open your heart. Picture a sun ripping open your heart. Like, this is getting really bad. Like, you just can't get your mind up. Then picture a sun bursting out of your heart. Like, and then say, fat, out loud. Okay? See if it helps. I would say slap your face at the same time, but he didn't say that. Okay, drive on. Okay, 지친내끔바, 남캐인끔바성대. Imagine that sound, fat, is blasting out of the top of your head and shooting into the sky like a, what do you call those things they send from Cape Canaveral? What do you call the ones that come back? Shuttle. Okay? Like a shuttle launch. Okay? You say pet, and the sun bursts out of your heart and shoots out, light just shoots out of the top of your head and disappears into that at 55,000 feet. Alright, 10% Namka Yenne de Jepa. And then at 55,000 feet, it just melts into the sky. And the whole sky becomes bright. Like an atom bomb. You bring out and then it spreads through the whole sky. This intense light fills the whole sky around you. That Namgata Yemit Deva Samaba. Then Jita Ribaja. Do that as many times as you need. Okay? Depending on how bad a day you're having, it may be up to 100, I guess. Dagumi Sama. If you still have a problem, it still doesn't get you out of your doldrums, right? If it still doesn't work, and you still feel bound, and you can't break out of it, then drop the whole meditation session. Drop the session. Give up the session. Go do some physical things that would help remove the causes of dullness. The causes of dullness are some kind of darkness in the mind, or you didn't get enough sleep, or your mind is just overcome with some kind of sadness or depression. In that case, you should take steps to prevent the next meditation session from being screwed up. What are some drastic measures a 3-year retreat can take to prevent the afternoon session from getting screwed up when they had to break the morning session because they had this problem? The mind was just too low, too down. Right? He says, Silwe Sardupa, go stay somewhere cold. Good luck. Okay? Sake Toa, go to a high mountain. Go sit on a high... You have some nice rock formations in the 3-year retreat valley, right? Up on the ridge. Go up on the ridge. Go climb up the ridge and sit on the ridge. He says that. Okay? Sake. Yangba Toa, go someplace that has expansive. And you have that in the spirit. You have the ridge to the east, right? You have that whole ridge. And you have those cliffs. He says, go sit on a cliff or go sit somewhere expansive. Pantin Chakpa, take walks, take long walks, right? Don't you splash cold water on your face. So, Joshin. Deka chene sangana ngashin mikpadzin. Then go back into your meditation cabin, sit down and go back into your session. Go back into A session. Gopa Chamani, that was an entire discussion of practical antidotes for Sabadhamma. Alright? What do you think he's going on to next? He goes on to subtle and restlessness. Okay? He goes on to subtle restlessness. Gopa Chamani, Nikden Mashorwar Sam Yang Mate. He reminds us what subtle restlessness is. You haven't lost the object, but your mind is distracted. Right? We call it water running under ice, right? We call it just about to think about love. Dechuna sem dim chepe kin yin. If you get subtle restlessness, the problem is that you've tightened down slightly too much. You're too tight on the object. So, can you Ching say he. Let, what do you call it? Loosen up a bit. Dim che. Dadu ma pemba yemna. But if you loosen up, if you try to loosen up on the object a bit, but you still feel yourself getting distracted, dele rakbe gopa chumoyin. That's sort of a sign that you're restlessness is not as subtle as you thought. Alright? This is a fault of the mind being a little bit too happy. Alright? You see? He said before, if you felt down, you should uplift your heart or think of things that make you happy. You see? I didn't cover that very much, but whatever makes you happy, think about your children, or your friends, or your parents, or the last award you got, or, you know, whatever makes you happy, bring it to mind. But in subtle restlessness, what? The mind is too happy. You know, the mind is like, I also got that award. You know, and, okay, alright. God shape of Minja. Don't go too far on the happiness thing. God Jagna, if you get too happy about some, you know, you're thinking about your high school girlfriend and then it goes too far. Gyapo Setsangma Yang, Genshi Matope Rakshin Kindiger. Gyapo Setsama, Gyapo Sudodana. Who's Sudodana? The king Sudodana. Buddha's dad. Alright? That's the name of Buddha's father. Or Buddha Gautama's father. Siddhartha's father was named Sudodana. In Tibetan it's Setsama. Setsama. Gyunshu, he was about to see emptiness directly. He was on the verge of seeing emptiness directly and becoming what's a Gyunshu? Stream enter. He was about to become a stream enter. He was on the verge of seeing emptiness directly. Mato. He failed. The last minute he failed. He didn't make it. Why? Rakshin Kindiger. He says, don't forget the story of King Suddhodana. And then he doesn't tell us the story. This is happening in his text constantly. All the time. It's very frustrating. So, I went and looked it up. Due to John Brady's kindness, okay? I mean, I have 10,000 texts in here. I have a million pages of texts in here. So I can find it in about 2 minutes in the back of the car. So kindly, I have these two people who drive. They drive me around constantly. I work in the back of the car and find these dumb slides. So here you go. Buddha, like Lord Jesus, right? In his time, he was often not appreciated. I think there's a story that Jesus went back to Bethlehem and they tried to throw him off a cliff. He got up in the synagogue and said, I got it. I'm the Son of God. And they took him and tried to throw him off a cliff, right? And the same thing happened with Lord Buddha. So, you know, in the early years, his father was constantly embarrassed by his son. You know, he was a prince. He was supposed to be running the country. And he was all sitting on the trees, you know, and not washing himself and just doing nothing, basically. And it was an embarrassment for the father. Later, he became famous and people started to follow him. And then he attracted large groups of followers. Large groups of followers. At which point his father, what do you call that when you kick him out of your will?
Disowned.
He undisowned him. Yes, that's my boy. You know? Okay. Okay. Alright? So then Lord Buddha came back in glory, probably like Jerusalem, they're throwing the palms on the ground and everybody's cheering for him. You know, and the dad is like, that's my boy. I had the same thing with Mama Christy and her parents. Yeah, when she spoke at, what was that? Near the harbor in LA. Catholic University. Loyola. Yeah, her dad's a Loyola, what do you call it?
Alumni.
Alumnus. And then the night she spoke at Loyola to 400 people, he was like, that's my daughter, you know? And, you know, for 10 years before that, it was like, I don't know what the hell she's doing. Okay? Same thing. So Lord Buddha was like, he came back in glory. He came back, and all the people of the city are happy. And the father had been studying, and he was on the verge of seeing emptiness directly. But then he got all, he couldn't let go of the thought of how great his son was and what great genes he must have. Okay? Alright? He couldn't let it go. He couldn't stop being proud of his son in sort of an unhealthy way. He went overboard. And then he lost his meditation. He was too happy. Got it? He was too, like, high. The mind was too elevated. And he couldn't focus on emptiness anymore. And he lost it. And he didn't become a student. He lost it. Very famous, unfamous story. Okay. You won't find it much place, I don't think. His father had three brothers, I think, and they did achieve something. But the father, being the father, failed. Okay. Dika tuni dolor omani mole. When you get, by the way, we're just about, we stop at what time? Six? I think we'll take a break in about 5 minutes, alright? You don't have to break your meditation session if you get if you get so distracted. Alright, not so. You don't have to break your meditation session. Umani Mole, who wrote The Heart of the Middle Way? That's entering the room. Is it Baba Viveka? We just had it. Master Baba Viveka. Okay? Here he has a suggestion. Grapa Mita Lasapa Nila Chepe Shiva Cha. If you get distracted, if you get restless mind, the mind can't stay in the room. The mind wants to go out and see something else, right? So if that happens. Then meditate on vitakkha. What's vitakkha? Yeah, it means impermanence, okay? All things change. All things change. Okay? Every good thing that every person on this whole earth has ever gotten, they will lose. Period. Okay? Their health, their hair, their strength, their friends, their family, their loved ones, their children, their parents, their possessions, all the things they work for their whole life, they will lose. If that doesn't bring your mind down a bit, then you have a problem.
And
Like, just reflect a bit on what's really happening in the world. And that's a powerful agent to bring your mind back. If you're like the dad and you're like, oh, it's my boy, you know, and then you think about the Loyola auditorium's gonna fall down one day. Everybody sitting in the auditorium will be dead. They'll be skeletons. They'll be eaten by worms in the ground. Nobody will remember their name. The last photo of them will be thrown out by some distant relative who doesn't remember who that is. And that's the story of your life. And that's the story of everybody's life. And that should bring your mind down a bit. That should, you're not supposed to get depressed. You're just supposed to bring your mind back in a bit. Right? You can think about the amount of suffering that you can see in the world and the amount of suffering that you cannot see. So there are realms which you cannot see. And there are also suffering there. There is suffering going on in this world that you can see, and there's a lot of suffering going on that you cannot see. So, sen shumba dang kyo shetan, bring the mind down a bit. Get a little bit of sadness. Feel a little bit, what do you call it? It's, what do you call it when you plan something? It's a sense of sadness that you are... There's a better word. It's like... how do you say consciously, but it's not like that? You are consciously creating some sadness. Intentional, there's a better word. Yeah, deliberate. Who said that? Yeah. It's a deliberate sadness. And we never do that, right? It's a deliberate sadness. Can you throw your mind into a deliberate sadness? On purpose. Why? Because your mind is through, oh, I got this award, and oh, I got this award, and boy, this boy is looking at me now, he's calling me, you know? And then you gotta bring your mind down deliberately with a little bit of deliberate sadness, right? If you still have the problem, if it doesn't work, you gotta use sen tap. Sen tap means drastic measures. Drastic means. Sen means like punching somebody, or, you know, sen means violently drastic means. Okay? Yeah, it's right there. Sen tap. What's the Sanskrit word for sen tap? What's the Sanskrit translation for tsenta? Hatha. 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 Okay? Hatha. Hatha yoga. Hatha yoga was once a very drastically demanding yoga. And it was called tsenta. It was called hatha because it's so hard. The Tibetans translated hatha as tsenta. 1,000 years ago, hatha meant kick-ass yoga. Right? Here he's saying, if you're still getting, what do you call it? Distraction. Or if you're still restless in the mind, then set up. Use drastic measures. What are those? Set up the chip and tap nando she chewe ujumu bla. Say, oh. If you say this, you get to have refreshments. Here we go. Oh. I like it. Oh. Jumu. I really like it. I don't know why. One more time. Okay, that means breath meditation. Okay, uk means your breath. Uk means breath. Jum means going out. Muk means going in. Jum. It comes from the Abhidhamma Kosha. Those of you who care, it comes from Master Vasubandhu's Abhidhamma Kosha. And it is considered drastic means. To do what? No, for what? Yeah, to bring the mind down when the mind is a little too over the top, right? Like you just got an award, or you just met a new boyfriend, someone gave you a promotion at work, something good happened to you, and you just can't bring the mind down. Okay, unfortunately, it doesn't happen that often, right? But if it happens to happen, then that's the purpose why you do ujumu. And nothing bigger than that. It's a last-ditch attempt to bring the mind down a little bit. And so somebody got a hold of an Abhidharma scripture in Thailand somewhere, and they only had page 63, And it said, do breath meditation. And then they've been just doing that. And really, that was the source of it. The Abhidhamma Kosha, it came from the Abhidhamma, which reached Thailand and Burma and became very popular. And they just got this one little part of it that was supposed to just be used when you were too happy. And then it just got out of hand. You know, it became a whole deal to watch your breath all day, which doesn't help you that much. Okay? It's very good for bringing the mind back or concentrating the mind or as a temporary hatha, as a temporary drastic means. But then you've got to go on to a real meditation object. We talked about that, right? Like meditate on some enlightened being or meditate on emptiness or meditate on universal compassion or something meaningful rather than oxygen coming and going. Right? The whole breath meditation thing was good. There's some kind of, I don't know, something happened and it blew up. Got too big. And people lost the real meditation object. It's only a temporary means to calm the mind, to bring the mind to stability. Then you move to a meaningful object. Okay? So he starts to describe. I just love it. I love hearing people say it. He describes breath meditation. He says, "Udo ong so kin se padoa yino." Nyamadam. The way you do a breath meditation is, when you exhale the breath, you think to yourself, oh, the breath is leaving my body. And, sun o song nyam. Oh, the breath is coming back to my body. Di dhamma o nyamba. Deshin to draw ni chang yi ki chang. Oh, this is breath number one. And then breath number two. And then breath number three. Those of you who know the practice, as a preliminary to meditation in order to bring your mind down, it's traditional to try to count 10 breaths. Exhale as the first half, inhale as the second half. Try just to count 10 breaths without thinking about anything else in between. And the very cruel rule is, if you do think of something else, you have to start over. So if you're honest, you can't get past 3 or 4. And you can spend hours like that, right? In fact, it gets worse as you get tired. So you're gonna try to count the breath. Out, first half, in, second half, count the breath. Yi ki dang ne, dambo sun shin san le mi tu. You won't be able to get to more than 3 or 4, he says. Okay, so the scripture says it. And if you lose it, the object at 4, you gotta start over again, he says. Okay. My personal suggestion is you stop after about 10 minutes, okay? Because it's only gonna get worse. And you can spend your whole day like that. Okay. Dendam nye chik san re sen mayen basun tumna. If you are able, for example, to count to 21 breaths, purposely, okay, you will catch yourself going to 21 by accident. Okay? It's a joke, it's true, it's funny. You say 11, 12, and then like, oops, you know, okay? Which means you were thinking about lunch. If you can get to 21 without thinking of something else, which is what? It's a minute. Minute and a half, like that, okay? Semne dhammo chutseyin. You have reached the first level of meditation. You have reached the first level of meditation. If you can hold the mind on the breath for 21 breaths without thinking about something else. I like to be frank, I like to make exceptions for acts of God. In the insurance business, this means things you can't control. If someone slams a door and your mind goes there and comes right back, I don't start over because it's not my fault. Or is it? Okay. There was a practitioner named, a great practitioner named Punzo Gyatso. He lived in Yerpa. Yerpa is about 10 miles outside of, I almost said Phoenix, Plaza. About 10 miles outside of Plaza. And there are some caves there, and it's famous for meditation. Right? Anyway, this man from Yerba, Rangi Guche Chik Desi Sangye Gyatso Shep Ding Yin. He had a relative, a brother, who was an assistant to Desi Sangye Gyatso. This was a very famous minister, prime minister of Tibet in the time of the Fifth Dalai Lama. If you've ever seen those cave temple paintings of yoga, Tibet yoga, those were commissioned by Desi Sangye Gyatso. A very great minister of Tibet. After the Dalai Lama passed, for 5 years he ran Tibet and didn't tell anybody that the Dalai Lama had passed. Because he felt that there would be a civil war. So he had an actor who would be the Dalai Lama, and he told everybody they couldn't get close to him. You know, sort of a kind of a rough attendant. All right. Gyatso Shabding. Desi Shabding Che La Unye Chungwe. So the prime minister and the guy's relative got some political trouble. Neje Gomla Tugma Simbar Gyurganla. And then he was worrying about his relative, who, you know, in Tibet, if you got in trouble, you got your eyes gouged out, or you got executed, or whipped, or, you know, so he was worried about his relative, Drupna. And then he started to do breath meditation, and he felt much better. And that's the end of the story. or that he was able... What the story, the point of the story is that there were some very serious, personal, life-threatening things going on in the family. He was distracted, and he brought his mind back by just doing breath meditation. He was able to go, to stay in retreat, and keep his mind in retreat just by doing this breath meditation. So it does have a good use, right? Detam chekyan kopa machuna reshi chundurajan. If you try to use this antidote and you don't succeed, then for the time being, you can break the meditation. Break the session. This is kind of where I'd like to lead those of you who are going to be away for the week. I would kind of like to lead the teaching on this point, all right? He says, before your meditation session begins, make a plan about how many minutes you plan to meditate for. Right? Make a plan. Pepatang means make a plan. Tango. Yung ring chena, je, so something, he then toanang, kilo patang, kyutor gyur. This is really funny. If you make your plan too long, if your plan calls for, do you know how many minutes I was planning to give you this morning? It was 10. I was planning on 10, but at 8 the room felt so tense that I had to stop, okay? So don't go crazy, alright? This morning we had to cut from 10 to 8 minutes, alright? He says, Yun Ring Chena, if you go on too long, Jay Sora, later on, when you come back to do your future sessions, something you then told enough, when you see your meditation cushion, gilupa means, you'll kind of be like, ew. Gilupa means, ew. And kimjoa means, yeah. So, you know, don't let your meditation cushion become your enemy, you see? When you lay eyes on it, you feel tired already. Or you walk past it at 8 in the morning, and you're like, no, not today, honey, you know, I can't do it today. You know, don't let your meditation person become someone you don't like. Gom Dugin Choa Chen Che. This is a very famous Dambe. Say Dambe. Dambe means a Tibetan saying. What do you call that? A cliche or a... What do you call it? Yeah. What did you say that? What was the other one? Yeah, it's like a colloquialism. Yeah. It's just a saying. Like they love Tibet. So that they have a saying for everything. Okay. In fact, if you want to learn to speak Tibetan, it's good to memorize that. I did that. Okay, anyway. Dong gong dugen choa che. Say gong.
Gong.
Dugen.
Dugen.
Choa che.
Choa che.
Gong.
Gong.
Dugen.
Dugen.
Choa che.
Choa che.
It means stop your meditation while you're having a good time. Okay? Stop the meditation while you're having a good time. Never stop meditating on a bad note. This also applies to relationships, and it applies to jobs, and it applies to the place where you live. Okay? If you're having a problem with your relationship, or you're having a problem with your job, or you're having a problem you don't like the house you live in, stay. Get over it. Get happy with the place, and then leave. Okay? Fix up the thing with your partner, okay? Till it's cheerful, and then leave. Okay? Really, don't leave things while they're bad. Because you will take those negative karmic seeds to the next place you go. So, resolve the problem with the person, and then divorce them, okay? Alright. Resolve problems in your personal life. Don't bail out of problems. Bail out of successes. That's what he's saying. Okay? It applies to a meditation also. Make it good and then stop. Don't stop in the middle of a problem. In life and in meditation. Okay. Choche Simba Shindu. Dadu Jung Tune Gona Lepa On. Lepa On Ga. Stop at that place where you feel like I could still go for a while. Okay? This is going great. I think I could squeeze another 10 minutes out of this. Stop there. Stop there. Because you'll love your meditation cushion. Okay? You'll every time you see it, you'll part on good terms. Right? Jaiswan Gomin Durbadam. Later, when you see it, you'll feel happy to do more meditation. You know, you'll be kind of like making up excuses to get in a little more meditation. Right? That's what you want. Choyan de nine jume deta chete gomba leki. Not only do you leave it feeling happy, but this is very important in meditation. If you get to be a good meditator, and if you stop while things are going well in the meditation, when you start the next meditation session, it begins to feel like a continuation of the earlier one. Alright? That's a nice sign when you get there. When you get to that point, you know your meditation's pretty good. Okay? You sit down and it feels like you're just taking up where you left off. Okay? And that's it. You will get there. If you meditate regularly, you will get there. And it just feels like each new meditation is a continuation of the last one. And then it feels like you're meditating all the time. Miso Chung Shin Bu Dagung Chu Chu Kyan Masala. If the meditation's not clear and things aren't going well, try to fix it. Try to fix it again. Couple times. But if at that point it's not gonna get better, Utsu means to what do you call it? Somebody comes to you and says, will you loan me $5? And you say, I can't. Then they come back to you again and say, can you loan me $5? And you say, I can't. And they keep coming back. Utsu means insisting. Continual jackass of insisting. Alright? Utsu means that. Utsu chekyan niang de song. If you keep doing this jackass insistence to fix the meditation when it's not going, it's not going to go, you will just get exhausted. Fighting your mind past a certain point is useless. Okay? You will just get exhausted. Jaiswan misawe chome dungde. And later on, when you sit down to meditate, you'll take off from where you were, which is tired. Dungde. Ma ducho lo san nam yao ki ka nam sun torbu jakun sawadan. He gives an example of a lama who had the same sort of thing happen. He left something at a point that was a little bit sad, and then he had trouble coming back to it. Here's the example. The Lama's name was Losang Namgyal. And he was teaching a very famous book by the early the first Buddhist of Tibet called Kadam Sungtopu. These are the miscellaneous sayings of the Kadampa Lamas, the first Geshe's of Tibet. Torpu Jagdum. He was giving a Jagdum. Jagdum means it's a teaching where you just go and read the book out loud, and the blessing of the words enter the mind of the audience. Okay? He was giving a Jagdum, a Lung. Jagdum is unearthing for Lung. Jag means your holy tongue. You don't call it Che in to a Lama. You say your Jag, your honorable Jag. Jagdum. He got to a line which said, these are the times in the world when people should try to concentrate on improving their own heart and not worry so much about improving others' hearts. He got to this line, okay? Sansu Shune, and he started to weep. Couldn't stop crying. Just started crying. Nanmatupa, and he couldn't continue with the oral transmission. Tupa Chetsam Shape, so they had to quit for the day. Right? Chinyin, he came back the next day and he got up on the throne and he thought about where he was the day before and he started crying again. And he couldn't go. He couldn't continue. Okay? So it's an example for your meditation session is low or depressed. And then if you leave it there and you start again the next day like that, it's almost like the nature of things that you will start with a depressed state of mind. So don't leave it while it's low. Okay? Don't leave it while you're crying. You see? Because you'll pick it up crying the next day. Qinyin dan yangyin means that the same thing happened the day after. Tsiksam degar chungwen, nung ma tu ba rao. So that's a story that our Lama used. So I'm going to leave it there, okay? Because before you get tired of me, because then you'll be tired of me when we start again. Look at the poster, study the poster, okay? Get used to the poster and put it up in your room somewhere, alright? And review your notes and think about this class. Don't just, there's a joke in Tibetan, they say don't leave the class at the door. Don't leave the class at the threshold of the door, okay? Keep it with you. Especially go over which problem? Which of the five? Which of the five would I most like you to work on? Number three. All right? So, subtle dullness and subtle restlessness. Okay? I want you to study those antidotes and think about those antidotes. Okay? And do some meditation and watch your own mind for subtle dullness. See if you can catch your own mind doing subtle dullness. That's your practical homework for the week. Okay? Those of you who are flying away. And I feel really, really happy about this class. And I feel really happy about the future prospects of this class, you know? I feel like it's a really good way to spend the next 10 years of our lives, you know? To be doing this every once in a while together. And so thank you for coming.